all stand. Bigger than us, being able to handle and provide the things that we need, being so far above us. Let's just get a big vision of God this morning, and let's worship Him with this song. Blessed be the Lord God Almighty, who was and is and is to come. Seated if you wish.
praise you. We thank you, Lord, for another opportunity to be in your house here today. We glorify you, Lord. Amen. Let's all stand for the reading of the word today. Begin with Matthew 6:6-13. But thou, when thou prayest, enter into the closet, and when thou hast shut the door, pray to thy Father which is in secret, and thy Father which seeth in secret shall reward thee openly. But when ye pray, use not vain repetition, as the heathen do, for they think that they shall be heard for their much speaking. Be not ye therefore like unto them, for your Father knoweth what things you have need of before ye ask him. After this manner, therefore, pray ye, Our Father which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is done as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen. Heavenly Father, we pray, God, that you will bless your word here today. Lord, we pray that it will be edifying. Lord, that it'll go to the minds and the hearts of the people, Lord, that they can grow in grace and knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. You may be seated. The lesson title today is Discipline of Prayer. You know, I often wonder sometimes what happens when people stop praying. Why do they stop praying? I think many times they misunderstand what prayer is. And a lot of times they pray for things that they would consume it upon their lust, and therefore God don't answer it. And they don't understand that. So therefore, I've seen many people walk away from God. One man even said, I did my part and God didn't do his. Amen. When he was wanting something of the flesh. It's just ignorance. Many people walk away from God not understanding. I heard while I was finding something to teach on, I come across this saying, which has a lot of truth to it. It said, you may soonest find a man living that does not breathe as a living Christian that does not pray. Amen. A prayer is not something that we can do if we want to or not if we don't want to. Prayer is our access to strength in the Word of God. Amen. But we must pray the Word of God. We can't pray outside the Word of God. And our lesson today, amen, it teaches us how God wants us to pray, how God wants us to do things. You know, we need to seek after God first. The Bible tells us in Matthew 6:33, it says, seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these other things will be added unto you. If we could just pray that way, if we could just think that way. You know, without prayer, nothing else falls in line. Remember Reagan? He had an economy, that trickle-down economy. He said, well, if we build up our economy, it'll trickle down to everybody else. Well, if you build up your prayer life and you store up spiritual things, that'll trickle down to your flesh needs. But that's the way it's got to start. It's got to begin with God. That's got to be our main thing. The main thing is to keep the main thing the main thing. Everybody's heard that in this church before. But that's the thing that God wants us to do. So we need a spiritual economy. Amen. That can trickle down and help us God wants to help us in our walk with him. But you know, many times we want some of the things that God don't want us to have. And so if God says no, if your earthly father said no when you was a kid, you just took it and went on. You figured right then, I'm not going to get that. Well, we need to do God the same way. If he says no, then go on and keep on keeping on with God. Amen. Prayer is the source of all things, all spiritual things. Without prayer, you cannot grow spiritually, because the Bible says you have not because you ask not. Amen. We need to ask of these spiritual things. We'll get into our lesson a little bit now, but we need to set our mind on the things above, not on the earthly things. Colossians 3:2 says, set your mind on things above, not on things which are on the earth. Amen. When you pray, Set your things on the things above and not on the earthy things. Amen. If you will trust God and you will just seek after more Him, He'll supply your needs. But you know, I see the more people pray, the closer they get to God, the less they ask for the spiritual things. Because they learn to trust God that He's going to take care of those things. He knows what you have need of before you ask. He knows what's good for you before you ask. He knows what's not good for you. There's probably been more than one Christian that probably has tried to deal with God and say, listen, if I win the lottery, I'll build a brand new church. I'll do all these things. He won't do it. Money, you can't serve mammon and God. You can't serve them both. Just ask, just seek God, and he'll do the rest. Amen. But set our minds on Him and on things above, and He'll take care of the rest. Amen. You ever wonder why Israel, the 10 nations of Israel, why they turned and served Baal? Things, man don't change much. It's because God wasn't giving them everything they wanted in the flesh, so they figured God had failed them. And so they began to worship Baal, thinking maybe they could get more of the things in this life. When you start leaving God, most generally it's a fleshly reason. And I've been in church for a long time, and I've seen many people leave God. And they left God most generally because the churches today are teaching a religion that guarantees you material possession. And when that don't happen, what happens? They lose confidence in God because they don't know anything more, most of them, except what the man up here is telling them. So when they don't get the things they ask for, then they walk away from God. I've seen it more times than not. And they say today many people are leaving the church. The church is getting fewer and fewer. And the reason that it is, they've started preaching this thing, everybody goes to heaven. All you got to do to go to heaven is just die. So what do they need to be serving God for? Everybody wants salvation, but nobody wants to serve. That's where it's at. Everybody wants salvation, but nobody wants to serve. And we begin to serve God when we have a prayer life, and we begin asking God for the things that we need, the spiritual things. These are the things we seek first. Amen. I don't see how anybody cannot believe in God. When you look up at a sun that just burns and burns and burns and never burns out, never gets any hotter, never gets any cooler, and never fails to come up in the morning and go down in the afternoon, and all the source of the moon, the source of the light of the moon and the source of the light of the stars is the sun. And all of the light that we can shine today is going to be reflecting upon what we have of God. That's the only light that we can shine. Bible says, let our light so shine before men that we'll see their good works and glorify our Father which art in heaven. Amen. We need to have an object of prayer. Amen. We need to know what we're praying about. We need to know who we're praying to. We need to know what God wants to hear, what God wants to hear in our prayer life, what He wants to see in our walk, and all of these things. But without faith, the Bible says, it's impossible to please God. Amen. You'll find that in Hebrews 11:6. Without faith, it is impossible to please Him. First, we must believe that He is, and that He is a rewarder of them that diligently seek Him. Amen. How we pray, and we can go to a materialistic God the way the children of Israel did, the 10 tribes, and we can go that route and begin to serve material things. Or we can serve the real, true God that will give us the things that we really need, the spiritual things. And we'll get to that, hopefully, if I don't waste too much time on these other things. Amen. But you know, there's a lot of reasons to pray. Did you know that it was said in the Duke University by Dr. Harold G. Coyne, has recently said that according to 1,500 respectable medical studies, people who are more religious and pray more have better mental and physical health. And most times they never ask God for it. It comes with the territory. If you pray and you seek God, all of these other things will be added unto you. You know, I make sure I don't boast of my flesh, because I know if I boast of where I am right now, tomorrow can change. Amen. But at the school, they had to have a 70-year-old man do all the lifting of the tables because all the 50-year-olds couldn't do it. That's where the world's going to today. Sometimes you think the men are getting more feminine and the women are getting more manly. Amen. But these are the things. And God gives us so much in His Word that will help us to understand that. You know, we've been in the Sermon on the Mount for some time now. But you know, I read it over if I'm only going to do one part. I read over the whole thing. But you know, more of the things that I find in the Sermon on the Mount will find its way into almost every sermon a preacher preaches. You've heard them all. We just said, seek ye first the kingdom of God and His righteousness. That's there. Hunger and thirst after righteousness. That's there. It's all there. Let's get to our lesson. Matthew 6:6 says, when thou prayest, it didn't say if you pray. It says, when thou prayest, enter into a closet. Set your mind away from the distractions of the world. I know we pray collectively here. But this is not the only time that you should pray. Amen. We should have a time that we set aside to pray. I'm preaching to this man too. And when thou hast entered into a closet, and when thou hast shut the door to all the earthly thoughts, when you've shut the door, pray to thy Father, which is in secret, and the Father which seeth in secret shall reward thee openly. As we already read, Colossians 3:2 says, set your mind on things above and not on the things which are earthy. When you go in and you shut the door, shut it to those things. Amen. But you know, many times the first thing we think about, we get down on our knees and we start giving God our prayer list. You know, well, I need a new coffee pot. I need this. I need that. I need this. We haven't even started praying yet. You don't start praying until you seek first the kingdom of God and His righteousness. Amen. We'll get to some of that, but you need to do that first. Sometime I pray, I got things. I look now, and I have most of the things that I wanted way back then. But you know, most of the time in my prayer life, I always thank God for what I had. Always thanked Him for what I had. And then seek Him. And you'll always be able to thank Him for the things you have. But we first got to seek Him. Matthew 6:5. And when thou prayest, thou shalt not be as the hypocrites are, for they love to pray standing in the synagogues and in the corner of the streets, that they may be seen of men. Verily I say unto you, they have their reward. What's your reason for praying? Amen. What we need to pray for is what God wants to give us. Amen. Many times, and He says not to do as the hypocrites do. If we only come and pray here, amen, are we praying to be seen, or are we really praying? I mean, I believe we're really praying. But there's some that they may only pray to be seen. And that's what the Bible calls as a hypocrite. They love standing in the synagogues. If the only time I prayed is when I come up here, then woe unto me, shame on me. And in the corners of the streets. I don't think there's anything wrong with going to the corners of the streets. They used to do that. Amen. But now they're too ashamed of God to do that, or the city won't let them. It may be that more than it is anything else. When I lived in Michigan for a short time, we lived next door to a Pentecostal preacher. And every Saturday, he would carry his wooden box out there and stick it into his car, and he'll say, Lord, if you don't give me anything else, give me 50 cents for gas money. And he would go get on that and stand on that corner and preach. And he'd come back, and he said many times, I mean, I don't believe that was the reason he's going for 50 cents. He just wanted to, he's letting the Lord know in case he didn't already know, which he already did. He said, I don't really have money for gas, so I hope I get 50 cents for gas. And he usually said, well, he's never failed me yet. He said, I got 50 cents for gas, didn't get much more, but I got that. But every Saturday, he was back out there. And I've often thought about that guy and how the nerve that he had. Amen. But God wants us to go into our closet, close the door. Sometimes we fool around till we get forced into a situation like that, like Jonah did. Now, that's what you call a closet. There was nobody in there but him and God. And that's when he began to seek God and seek him with all his might. Matthew 6 and 7. But when you pray, use not vain repetition, nor in pretense as the heathens do, for they think they shall be heard for their much speaking. I was going to say something about, and I think I'm going to now. It's hard to pass it up for time's sake, but I think we're doing all right. But you know, in 1 Kings chapter 18, we find that Elijah challenged the prophets of Baal. He said, why stand we between two decisions here? He said, if Baal be God, then serve him. If the Lord God be God, then we serve him. And he said, give us two bullocks. You take one and I'll take one. He said, we'll put them on an altar of wood. And he said, the God that answers by fire, let him be the God that we serve. Amen. He said, you go first. He said, there's 450 of you. He said, there's only one of me. It didn't take long for 450 people to build an altar. Then he said, you go first. They built their altar and they prayed. I imagine they made the awfulest noise. They jumped upon the wooden altars until they broke them down. And they cut themselves till all about the noontime. And then about noontime, they stopped for a while to, I guess, get their second wind or something. But Elijah began to make fun of them. He said, surely your God hears. He is, if he's a God, he said, surely he hears. Well, maybe he's talking, or maybe he's pursuing, or maybe he's on a journey somewhere. He had quite a personality there, Elijah did. He said, maybe he's gone off somewhere. So they got more determined. They yelled the louder. They prayed the louder. They prayed harder until it come to the evening sacrifice. And they still hadn't had no call from their God, the God of Baal, the materialistic God of today. Amen. Them material things will fail you. Amen. You're not taking nothing with you. And the older I get and the closer I get to that place, the more I understand that. You'll not take anything with you. So why put all of your mind on those things? The things that you're going to take with you is what's done in Christ. And that's all you're taking with you. And that's the thing we take with us to God today. We have to reach out to him. But here's Elijah's, what he said to him in, I believe it's chapter 18, verse 36 and 40. And it came to pass at the time of the offering of the evening sacrifice that Elijah the prophet came near and said, Lord God of Abraham, Isaac and of Israel, let it be known this day that thou art God in Israel and that I am thy servant. That's when God hears from us, when we're his servant. Amen. When we serve. And that I have done all these things at thy word. Everything we do in word or deed, we do in Jesus Christ, don't we? So we do it in his word. It says, hear me, O Lord, hear me, that this people may know that thou art the Lord God and that thou hast turneth their heart back again. Then the fire of the Lord fell and consumed the burnt sacrifice and the wood and the stone and the dust and licked up the water that was in the trench. I failed to say it, but they poured water upon that sacrifice of Elijah. They poured water on it. Poured it one time, two times, three times, and they dug a trench around it and filled it with water. Elijah wanted them to know that's impossible for me to light that. That it's going to take God to do this. And when all the people saw it, They fell on their face and they said, "The Lord, He is the God. The Lord, He is God." You know, I see many reasons why there's some people, I don't know reason. I hear their reason. Maybe I read their reasons for not believing in God, but it takes a whole lot more faith to not believe in God than it does to believe in Him. Because to believe not in Him, you don't see no reason to not believe in Him. But to believe in Him, like I said before, even the firmaments, amen, testify of Him. Amen. I can't tell you what makes that sun stay up there. I can't tell you what makes it burn day after day. I can't tell you how we get the air we breathe. I can't tell you that this earth is the only form of life that man has been able to find, because God has put life here. This is where God deals with man. I can't tell you why all those things are happening or why things are like they are. But I know that they're impossible. Where are you? You're looking at a miracle right here. It's impossible for man to make anybody like me. Amen. You know, man can't even make a seed to put in the ground that it'll grow. So it all speaks of a higher power. Amen. But our motivational factors. The Bible says you must believe that He is, and that He is a rewarder of them that diligently seek Him. First, you must believe that He is. You must diligently seek Him. Matthew 6:7, "And when you pray, use not vain repetition." We just read that one. Let's go on. And we went into 1 Kings 18 with Elijah. Now let's go on. All right. Now we need each other to lift each other up in prayer. Amen. It's hard to pray. We come together. I know many times that I have found myself in a valley and I go to church. It has lifted me out of that valley and got me back to praying again like I ought to. But you know, we have to help each other in a lot of ways. I mean, I say this and I still say it right now. If you see anything I do wrong, come to me up here. We need to know it. If it's wrong, you need to tell me. We need to, you know, get together and hash these things out and get it right. And I'll show you here, James 5:16. Says, "Confess your faults one to another and pray for one another." Now, we have faults. The Bible wouldn't have told us to confess them. A fault is purposely stepping over. There's a lot of people, they'll purposely, they make no qualms about it. They just don't believe it. They purposely step over the things that are in the Word. A sin involving guilt or a missing of the mark. See, we need to confess these things. If I find myself wrong, I confess it. I confess it before all. Or missing of that which is right. Seek ye first the kingdom of God and His righteousness. What does righteousness mean? It means to be right with God. And a lot of things people just don't preach anymore. They say, well, you can't preach those things anymore, so what are they doing? It's a fault. They're purposely stepping over them because people don't like to hear them. And they don't like to hear them because they've heard too much of the opposite thing that says, God is going to take care of all your fleshly needs. You don't have to worry. You'll be driving Cadillacs and living in big houses in no time. But it's just not true. If I want things for the flesh, I'll go out and get a job. That's within my realm of possibility. I can do that. God takes care of the impossible things that I can't fill myself with the Holy Ghost. I can't even understand this word without His help. Amen. He has to help us in all ways. But to be effective, God don't move in error. He sets and waits. So to be effective, we need to take care of these faults. There's some people, they don't want to believe anymore. They want salvation without serving. They don't want to believe anymore. Just salvation. To me, that's a seed that was planted on rocky ground. It'll spring up real fast, and then by and by, it'll be offended by the word, and they'll just go away. Because we need the things of God. We need the whole, put on the whole armor of God. Hebrews 10 and 25 says, not forsaking the assembly of ourselves together, as the manner of some is, but exhorting one another. And so much more as you see the day approaching. Now if it just said, for us not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together, and left it there, well, all we'd have to do is just come together. But it says more, not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together, as the manner of some is, but exhorting. Exhort, you know, I go to the Bible dictionaries for these, most of these things, and says to encourage or to urge someone, often stirring up arguments. You want to stir up an argument? Start talking religion. Admonition, advice, to make urgent appeal. God wrote an awful big book for us to just take one scripture out of it. You have no idea what you're talking about. And many people, they just pass over things and pass over things. When you pass over something, you're saying it's not important. In your heart and in your mind, it's not important. The Bible says somewhere in there, it says, amen, anyone that breaks these commandments and teaches others to do so will be counted least in the kingdom of God. I get a little confused with that scripture because, well, I don't get, we're human, aren't we? All right, if we're doing wrong and we're teaching others to do so, amen, when we come to the realization of that, then we have to correct it. The Bible says, amen, if anyone knows to do good and do it to not, it's to him it is a sin. So maybe if someone was doing something and teaching it the wrong and teaching others, maybe they would be counted at least in the kingdom of God. But we come together, we exhort one another, we show each other our faults and our mistakes. I'm not telling you to come in and tell everybody how you and your wife fought the night before. It's not talking about that. It's talking, we always get the word of God mixed in with our flesh. We always do. But it's talking about our spiritual walk with God. Amen. The signs followed the apostles because God gave them understanding of the scripture. And when we understand the scripture and we walk in it, that's when we begin to realize the power of God. Oh my goodness, I got 5 minutes and I got one page done. I'm going to go real quick here. Matthew 6 and 8, be not therefore like unto them, for your Father knoweth what things you have need of before you ask. We know that. James 4 and 2, ye lust and have not, ye kill and desire to have and cannot obtain. Ye fight and war, yet ye have not because you ask not. Verse 3 said, you ask and receive not because you ask amiss, that you may consume it on your own lust. How much clearer can it get? Let's talk about the spiritual things. Let us come together and exhort one another. 2 Peter 3 and 16, and also in all his epistles, Paul was misunderstood a lot of times. Said, and them of these things in which are sometimes hard to be understood, which they that are unlearned and unstable rest. Amen. We have to seek the word of God. We have to come together and uplift each other, as they do also in other scriptures, and to their own destruction. 2 Peter 3:17. Ye therefore, beloved, seeing ye know these things before, beware lest ye also, being led away with the error of the wicked, fall from your own steadfastness. But grow in grace and in the knowledge of the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. 2 Peter 3:18. Give him the glory, both now and forever. I'm going to get to something here before I quit, something we really need. Now, I know everybody here has read the Sermon on the Mount, have you not? I've got 5 minutes. Okay, the Sermon on the Mount, everybody's read it. How many of you were perplexed when you got done reading it? How many of you was astonished? You know why? Because it was spiritual things. There's no occasion for the flesh that you'll find in the Sermon on the Mount. It's all spiritual. There's no occasion for the flesh. You won't find any. And that's the desire of God in our heart. But God knows that we don't have that strength within ourselves. Many have said, you can't do it by yourself. Or you can't do it. Some just say you can't do it. But no, you can't do it by yourself. That is the truth. Matthew 7:7 says, ask. Now, we're still in the Sermon on the Mount. And it shall be given you. Seek and you shall find. Knock and it shall be opened unto you. Amen. These are the things of God. You won't find no occasion for the flesh there, but many people use it for that. They'll say, well, the Bible told me to ask and it'd be given to me, and I asked for a brand new car and he didn't give it to me. Well, see, they don't know what they're talking about. They're in ignorance. Matthew 5:6 said, blessed are they which do hunger and thirst after righteousness. And that's in the Sermon on the Mount. Matthew 7:8, for everyone that asketh receiveth, and he that seeketh findeth. To him that knocketh, it shall be opened. It says everyone. You want a closer walk with God? Ask him. If you don't understand things, ask him. You want to be able to do more in your life and be more godly? Ask him. And he'll give you the strength that you need, the strength that you have to walk in the Sermon on the Mount. Will we ever get it all together? Paul said, not I, he said, but this is one thing I do. I press toward the mark of the high calling. That's the Sermon on the Mount. That is in Christ Jesus. I know that question has come up to every verse 9. Oh, what man is there of you whom, if his son asks bread, will give him a stone? Amen. I wouldn't do my kid that way, neither would you. That's in your realm of possibility. You can give them that. Verse 10, it was, if he asked a fish, would he give him a serpent? And we're in Matthew 7. And verse 11, if ye then, being evil, know how, it's in your realm of possibility to give good gifts unto your children, how much more shall your Father, which is in heaven, give good things to them that ask him? Well, they get a little confused. What good things? What they may think things good for the flesh is good things. Well, Luke clears it up in Luke 11:13. If ye then, being evil, know how to give good gifts unto your children, how much more shall your heavenly Father give the Holy Spirit to them that ask him? The Holy Spirit unto them that ask him. The spiritual things. We want God too involved in our materialistic things more than we do our spiritual things, and it won't work because you're getting the cart before the horse, and it will never work. We must become as a little child. We must hunger and thirst. A newborn baby, right off the bat, begin to hunger and thirst for the food of life. And we've got to be as little children. We've got to hunger and thirst after the spiritual things in God. God bless you.
Why don't you stand right now?
More of you in my life.
Oh, the importance of prayer.
More
as Job said, Lord, I esteem the words of thy mouth more than my necessary food.
More of you.
These altars are open. Why don't you find a place to pray for these next few moments? Classes will be returning, but why don't we spend some time in prayer? So vitally important. Help us to be prayerful people, God. Help us to know what it means to pray, how to pray. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus, to follow your example, Lord, the model that is there in your word. Thank you, Jesus.
My Lord. me close to you. Your friend. You
shelter from the storm, a help to those who call the name of Jesus.